The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this week in our series on disinformation, we're talking about our own election and how much disinformation is out there and whose job it is to put us right. Also, how many so-called influencers check stuff they simply bounce onto their followers. We're joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, election disinformation. How do we know how much is out there? Is anyone watching?
People are watching, believe it or not. So the one thing we should put out there, first and foremost, we've seen the very divisive tone of a lot of elections around the world. Ireland is slightly unique in one way, as in most people in Ireland believe in the integrity of the election. We've had very little attempts at election interference. I think there's been one charge in the last 5 years at attempted irregularity.
The theory is that the PR system is so complicated, nobody could interfere with it, even the GOP.
It would be very hard for you to mess around with a non-first-past-the-post system. And there's a lesson that for our neighbours across the sea, both sides, that maybe first-past-the-post is not the way to go if you want a fair and non-biasable system. But even so, there has been strains of American-style disinformation claiming that there's global interference, that there's going to be a steal the vote kind of thing. In fact, there's a lot of tropes that have been taken from the American election. Now, we saw this, the Institute for Strategic Dialogue looked at this recently. They had a report out this week on Irish election interference, and they looked back at our May-June elections, the local elections, and they found 162 instances on social media of a lot of that kind of rhetoric. And they particularly see the far right as using it, using immigration as a wedge issue, saying that immigrants are being shipped in to vote for different parties. Again, how would they? But Ireland is not immune to this, is the important. It's very easy for us to think we're immune. We are not, but our electoral system makes it harder for malign actors to manipulate it.
Since we don't use electronic or mechanical counting, we use human hands. I mean, hacking someone's fingers is a bit difficult.
I mean, hacking someone's fingers off. I mean, technically that's the easy part, but let's not go there. But yeah, so there is some, if you go onto social media, particularly on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, which a lot of people have become refugees from or have escaped recently because of the tonal shift in it. That is, of course, full of these conspiracy theories, but they tend to be from very far alt-right accounts from around the world, not just Irish
ones. I have
ones.
Concluded in the last 24 hours, if not being persuaded before that Elon Musk is a truly evil man. I mean, the latest thing he's done in the States is to name people in federal jobs that he's going to axe.
Oh, yes.
But he's naming them and, that you know, they're findable in their localities, claiming that their job is worthless and therefore they're going to be axed. And, of course, this brings hatred and pillory down on people's heads.
And he knows that. So this is the kind of using his megaphone to be a mob leader in some ways. I mean, I'm not entirely surprised with that. I mean, what's the author quote by Maya Angelou when someone shows you who they are? I think Elon Musk has been showing us who he is for a long time. We've just refused to see it in some degree. Yes, he's purely vindictive, but his platform is now essentially is a disinformation platform. And a lot of media organizations, as we spoke about last week, have now said we're no longer going to be on, not just not pay for sponsorship, we're
it's
not going to be on it.
It's become Pravda.
Yeah, pretty much. A very hard right Pravda. Yeah. That is what that has become as well.
So, now, in terms of the social media platforms themselves and their systems and policies of moderation to try and take the truth and make sure that's there and take out the fake news and eliminate it, how well are they doing?
I love your innocence in thinking that they have some, you know, onus to moderate things. They have a good lip service of it, but they don't do it. And a good example this week was Global Witness, or campaign group, sent in 28 fake stories about the Irish election to TikTok.
Yeah.
14 in English and 14 in the Irish language. And these had absolutely outrageous falsehoods, like you needed to have two vaccine certificates to vote, that you could post in votes after the date. Stuff that was demonstrably and very easily shown as false. In fact, TikTok approved most of them. And it was only that the only reason they didn't run is that Global Witness then said, look, we just put them up to test out your moderation system. TikTok's response was, well, we didn't run them, so it's fine. Even though that is, of course, entirely disingenuous because they didn't run them because they were told not to. What that shows you is even platforms that claim they have a moderation system. Now,
but did TikTok
got rid of theirs.
Not run them because they'd sussed them out before they were revealed to be fake?
No, not at all. They had literally, their approval system had basically stamped them as these are okay and ready to go. They weren't. It was Global Witness that then said, we were just testing you. And this is the point that the moderation system, even when they exist, are woefully inadequate. So even platforms that have a moderation system, it is never going to be enough.
Now,
to stand
now we have our watchdogs, we have Commission Na Mban, and we also have the Electoral Commission.
And they are, at the moment, toothless. The Electoral Commission have no power to stop election disinformation. Their actual statement, I think I have here for me, is that they can rely on informal methods and ongoing collaborations with stakeholders to safeguard the election's integrity.
So that if they find fake news, they can't stop it?
They can do nothing about it, no. And again, social media companies, and I think we're increasingly coming to the feeling they're quite toxic, they are above the jurisdiction of individual countries. Mm. So they can interfere and run ads and get the money for it and not really care about the consequences or be enforced on that as well. And our own regulatory bodies have very little power at the moment to do anything.
Wow.
It's a grim note, isn't it?
It is a grim note that we have all these fancy titles on these organisations and they have no powers.
They have no powers because social media companies aren't regulated like, say, News Talk would be regulated or RTE. They're not answerable. There is an argument, and I think we've made it before here, that if you treated these companies like publishers, the game would change very, very quickly. But at the moment, they're platforms, so therefore they can disavow any responsibility for what they put on there, no matter how outlandish, dangerous, or in explosive it might be.
Now, what about influencers and the way they peddle stuff? They find something online, or maybe they're paid to, and they don't check anything. They just disseminated to their followers.
And that's kind of a common trope, but it turns out it is true. So UNESCO this week released a report where they went through influencers around 45 different countries, 500 content creators, and basically surveyed them on what they understood about fact-checking, what they understood about journalistic integrity, the laws in their country and ads like that. And what they found was a shocking 60% of them did not know anything about basic fact-checking and did not fact-check. They would promote products or share news without doing the basic thing of checking, is that true first?
So if something comes in, I remember you did your vitamin thing there.
Yeah, yeah.
They even printed a label which revealed the truth in the fine print of the label.
Yeah, and it's never checked. And this is a really important thing. Most of them didn't realize anything about journalistic integrity. They didn't realize when they were breaking the laws in their own country by saying things that may have required some kind of advertising approval or had to be backed up. And there was very little enforcement, so they suffered very little penalty for doing this. So if someone goes out there and spreads disinformation or misinformation as an influencer, they don't actually suffer any penalty for doing so, for the most part, and they don't realize their responsibilities. Now, we talked last week that 20% of Americans get their information exclusively from influencers, not just from social media, from influencers. So this is really worrying that 6 out of 10 of them can't do basic fact-checking and don't do basic fact-checking.
Or maybe have no appetite to do any fact-checking. It's just simpler and lazier.
And more lucrative. If you claim, well, this is clinically proven, this supplement or whatever else, you know, you're not going to stop and ask the Kardashians, did they actually check the clinical trials? Were they capable of doing the research appraisal? Because they probably weren't. But they rely on this parasocial trust that people put in them. Well, I trust that influencer. Well, you shouldn't. I mean, I get asked, even on Instagram all the time, who should we trust online? And they ask me, and I go, nobody. You should trust nobody online, like, including me. But people don't realize that because we try to find a trustworthy figure and then go, I can use that as a prism to filter things. Well, we cannot. Now, what UNESCO have done is they've partnered with the Knight Journalism Institute to try and train influencers and have online courses to help them. That might help a bit. But it is not going to stop the wider problem that the public have very, very small amounts of media literacy and influencers have a vested interest in not bothering, and social media platforms have an even more vested interest in not bothering.
We are truly living in a post-truth era.
It's used a lot, but unfortunately it is certainly true.
It seems to be demonstrative.
And what is often called mainstream media is often demonized, like shows like this. But in fact, I think it's really important to put out there that they have a basic commitment to fact-checking. If something is wrong, it can be challenged and corrected. That doesn't exist on social media. You will never get that. They will just double down if they're called out as wrong and there's no penalties for it.
And there's never an apology.
No, why would there be? If you said something, you know, defamatory or wrong on this show, you would have to apologize, pay damages, or maybe do something else. That is not the case for influencers.
David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.